Who's ready for me to preach an hour? I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, we're doing the wave. You guys know that if I preach an hour at any time, it's going to be supernatural anointing. Judy's been on to me. She said I need to throw the watch away. But listen, you know, we'll share some word with you and speak what we feel like the Lord is speaking to us in this hour. I don't know. Something's changing. Something's moving. Amen. As I stated earlier, you can sense it in the worship. But I want to tell you what. I sense it when I'm in the Word. Just God has taken us to another level. Amen. And I'll say to you again this week what I said last week. I'm going to take my time, Brandon. And, you know, oftentimes you get started preaching and you veer away from your notes. But I feel like what the Lord has given me to share is so important that there'll be times I'm going to stay right with my notes and you know, and again, as in preparing this word, Judy, you know, I sensed so much last night that oftentimes it was just the prophetic. You know, I'll study some and look at some verses, and then all of a sudden, you know, just there'd be a chunk of just prophetic stuff as to what I believe God is going to do in this region and through this people. And when I say that, you know, I'm not talking about this is not about me, and it's not about our Father's house. It's about the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. I sent a text message to a pastor of a local church. He'll send me a text message about every Sunday morning. I texted him this morning and told him just what I just said to you guys, and he texted me back and said I received that, and we're just, you know, it's, you know, just an outpouring of the Spirit of God in these mountains. Amen. Do you sense that something great's getting ready to happen? Amen. So we're gonna continue. And when I talked to you last week about a new thing, everybody say a new thing. Come on, say it again. Say a new thing. We read some verses to you about, behold, the former things, Isaiah 42:9. We talked about the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. So how many ways we can declare new things even before they spring forth? You know, we can speak things. You know, I don't know if you fully understand what's happening here, Ernie. It's talking about when God created, there's creative power. God spoke things into existence. He spoke and things happened. You know, we have that power. We're creating the likeness of God and in His image. We're creating His image and His likeness. You know, and I know some people get offended when you speak this way, but we are little Christ, if you will. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. Come on now. And I'm not trying to elevate us to the place where there's no name like His name. He has a name that's above every name. Amen. He is highly exalted and given. But yet we are created in His image and in His likeness. And the way, the creative power that He operated in, we have that same creative. Whatsoever you say, that's what you're going to have. Amen. And if you speak negative things, sure, you can watch. And I've said this many, many times. You can watch CNN. You can watch all these news programs. And if you let that stuff infiltrate your mind, I would just encourage you not to watch that. Amen. Get into the Word and let this define who you are, because does not define who you are. Amen. This Word defines who you are. And you speak the Word of God over yourself. You speak healing over your family. You speak healing. You speak prosperity over our region. Amen. I don't care what the economy. Listen, God is not controlled by the economy. God trumps everything. I said God trumps everything. So it's a new thing. I told you last week, I'm going to try not to hype this. I said that last week, and the Lord just hyped me anyway. But I want to get this out to you. Amen. It's a new thing. and something new is getting ready to happen. Amen. Amen. Come on, say amen. And we talked about some things that God is going to do. And we're going to continue that this morning. And what I feel like the Lord has spoken to me, he's hovering over this region. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. And there's just going to be hidden pockets of his glory, of his presence are getting ready to be manifest. He's about to manifest power with miracles. I see people coming from all over the world to this region. Wow, I feel a supernatural anointing just dropping down on this word. I see people coming from all over the world. Oh, Jesus, they're coming from all over this world to this region. Resources are going to be rediscovered in this region. New resources are going to be discovered in this region. Amen. And God's going to pour out his Spirit. When people come together in the spirit of unity and begin to worship and pray, God's going to pour out something like we've never seen before. All right, let me try to get this. Jacob, throw up Matthew 9:17. Did I give you my verses? Okay, I've got all those verses there. Just be ready because we're going to look at all those this morning. Look here. Everybody say a new thing. Matthew 9:17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Else the bottles break and the wine runs out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles. And both are preserved. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place. And we just speak it over your word right now. Father, let it speak to us. Let it change our lives. Let it transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Now, let's talk about new wine just for a second. When wine is new, let's talk about, and right now I'm speaking of wine in the literal sense. Let me just give you this little story. When I was a boy, I had a friend that lived next door. And this friend of mine, his father used to make wine. And before you guys go off wandering, you're probably already thinking, oh, he's going to tell us a story where they sneaked in and they got some of the wine and they drank it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I got to be honest, we never drank the wine because we knew not to touch that, not to be around it. But anyway, his father would make wine. And, you know, take the fruit and the sugar and put it in, he'd put it in this this big, huge, it was like a 5-gallon container, but it was at the top. It was made at a small opening at the top, and he would take a balloon and put it on the top of that container, and as the wine would begin to ferment, that balloon would start to expand. Are you hearing me? And that would show that the wine was in it. Because I asked the question, "What's the purpose of that?" And he said, "Well, when it starts to ferment, it shows that the wine is in that fermentation process." Now, listen to what I'm going to tell you. When wine is new and it's in a stirred of fermentation or fermenting, it bubbles. It expands as these fermentation gases are released. So when that happens, listen to me. When that happens, it takes on all kinds of shapes. I'm talking about the wineskin. Amen. And it's not perfectly symmetrical. Oh, speak to us, Lord. And the point is here, who knows what this is going to look like? Amen. It may not be just exactly the perfect little picture of what you think it's going to look like. Amen. It has to be flexible. The wineskin, when the fermentation process takes place, Ernie, the wineskin has to be flexible. And can I say right now that wineskins are changing? I said wineskins are changing. Somebody say that's me. So what is old must be renewed by the Spirit. What is outdated must be remodeled. Oh, come on now. Y'all got to help me preach. The enemy don't like this kind of teaching, preaching. I said what is old must be renewed. What is out of date must be remodeled. Amen. And what is ineffective must be replaced. You know what they say? You guys know the definition of insanity. doing the same thing over and over and over with the same results. Amen. And when you see something that's not working, what's ineffective must be replaced. And if what we're doing is not effective, it's time just to change the whole program and say, hey, we're just going to go with God and do something completely new. What are you talking about, Pastor? I don't know what I'm talking about. If I knew, it wouldn't be new. You got to hear what I'm telling you. And there's such a word in that. If we can design it, if we can program it, if it's within our self-influence to do it, it's not new from God. But when something comes new from God, you're like, wow, I never seen that before. I've never seen it done on this way. Woo! Didn't that happen often with Jesus? When he performed miracles, they were like, wow, we've never seen this before. They got so caught up in their religious, Pharisee way of seeing things. Show us something new, Lord. God wants to do a new thing. And this is a word for the church. Don't resist it. Wineskins are about to change. And you're going to have a wineskin that's ready for the new. I said, you're going to have a wineskin that's ready for the new. A fresh, pliable wineskin. That's a good word, ain't it? A fresh, pliable, one that's, you know, it can take a little stretching. It can take a little pressure. A fresh, pliable wineskin can absorb such expansion. You know what happens? It starts to absorb the expansion, and it slowly ages with the wine until the fermentation process is complete. Amen? It might be a little tough at times. You may not understand what's happening. Amen? You know, changes in your life. Changes happening. But I want to tell you something. On the other hand, to put fresh wine into an old wineskin is asking for trouble. The old wineskin, oh God, help us not to be this way. The old wineskin has assumed a definite shape and is no longer pliable. I've arrived. I've achieved a definite shape. This is the church. Wow, I feel the Spirit of the Lord on this. This is the church. This is what... Hey, guess what? We've arrived. We've hit that plateau. Amen. We've been baptized in the Spirit. We've got our prayer language. This is it. We're here. You know, we don't need anything else. Let me tell you something. There is no end to God. I said there is no end to God. You know, He had no beginning and He has no end. Ooh. Oh, you know, the search continues. God, you know, what else can we see new in you? So we don't want to assume a definitive shape, if you will, and not no longer be pliable, fixed, and actually, you know what? It actually is somewhat brittle. An old wineskin becomes brittle, and it's easy when that pressure starts to happen, when that fermentation process, those gases are released, it's brittle and it's easy to break it. The activity of new wine will stress it beyond its ability to yield. Wow. I said it will stress it beyond its ability to yield. See, we have to be pliable to where we're able to yield to the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, you say, wow, you know, this is something different. I haven't seen this before. This kind of gets me out of my comfort zone. You know, and you have the ability to yield and say, okay, God, haven't seen this before, but I'm just going to go with it. Amen. You know, Judy, I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but see, that's what God has done in the church for years. You know, the church gets hung up, and I know it's in there, but the church gets hung up on being like everybody else. God comes through with a revival. God came through with Azusa Street at the beginning of the 20th century, and everybody wants Azusa Street revival. You know what we want? We want the Spirit that brought Azusa Street revival. But we don't want the Azusa Street revival. We want the Appalachian revival. God send revival to the Appalachians and let the world see what you're doing in this place. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I said it's coming. Ooh, oh, thank you, Jesus. If you're fixed and you can't yield, the scripture says that both the wine and the wineskin are lost. It destroys both because the skin can't handle, and then you lose the new wine because it's gone. Are you with me? We can't put new ideas into old mindsets. I told you I'm taking my time here. We can't put new ideas into old mindsets. We can't get new results with old behaviors. Amen. God only gave Moses one burning bush experience. Amen. And then he took him to the Red Sea and he parted it. Woo! God showed him the burning bush. And then Moses said, let's see if this thing works. And he stretches that rod out and says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see these Egyptians behind us? Get a good look at them because you're not going to see them after today. Take a picture. Because they're going to be drowned in the sea. You see what I'm saying? And it was a Red Sea experience. Then when it got to the waters of Marah and the waters were bitter, and then he caused a tree to fall and made the water fresh. You see, and God, Moses wasn't at the Red Sea looking for a burning bush. He was looking for the sea to be parted. Amen. You know, we get hung up in this one little move of God. God, I want you to move this way. God says, hey, I moved that way last week. Amen. I'm kind of bored with that. Let's go do something else. Let's go do something different. Let's do something we haven't seen before. Let's see somebody touch that hasn't been touched before. Let's see a move of God come through the region. Let's see the wind blow in a direction it hasn't blown before. Hey, I don't like it when things are cookie cutter predictable. Let's let God be the God that He wants to be in our lives. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to give Him praise. Come on, somebody needs to give Him praise. God wants to be God. I said, God's just waiting for a people that will let Him release His power in a new and fresh way. Amen. You know, I just sing, James, that God is saying, you know, I've done that before. Let's do something, you know. We put God in a box. You know, growing up in the traditional Pentecostal church, you know, Ernie, if God blessed in the song, we'd sing that song every week. You know, and I understand, you know, God uses songs and we do them over. And I understand that. And there's power and anointing. There's certain songs, I'm telling you, they're going to be with us forever because of the anointing on that song. But, you know, we'd sing one, and if God moved in it, we come back to church next week, sing that one you sung last week. We all got happy, you know. We all got in the spirit, you know, sing that song, you know. And you just wear it out. God's like, you know, I'm sorry if that distorts your picture of God and who God is. But it's just, you know, I think God's just like, come on, you know, let's go. Come on, let's go. I'm ready to go. You know, I've got creative power up here. I spoke everything into existence, you know. And you're wanting to sing that song that just gets you happy like you got happy last week. He gave Moses one burning bush experience. And then the Red Sea experience. And other miracles. Amen. And here's the thing. Here's what I see, what the Spirit is speaking. God, here's how God works. God wants to provide the need for the hour that we're in. Are you with me? You see, when Moses at the Red Sea, he needed the Red Sea parted. When the waters were bitter, they needed fresh water. Here's the need. That's why he said, I am the am. I said that earlier in worship. He is the am. He is the I am, the great I am. He's saying, you know, I am whatever you need in that particular time. And if we need healing in here, God's going to send healing. If we need deliverance, God's going to bring deliverance. Hey, if we need financial blessings and there's poverty stricken, I'm telling you, when God shows up in that way, that's the need He's going to meet. So it makes Him God. All right. Amen. So somebody say new things. And you know, I know. You get these people. And I know how it happens. People get caught up in this in religion, the spirit of religion, and the enemy will start speaking things to you. Yeah, but Pastor, what about the old path? Hey, listen, I was studying that several months ago. I was doing, and I just heard the Lord speak so plain into my spirit. The old path leads to new things. It's the same way of getting there, and I'm ahead of myself again. It's the same way of getting. It's letting God be God. It's prayer and fasting and reading the Word and worship. Amen. It's following that old path. That's the path that God. That's the path that God used in the Old Testament, New Testament to do miracles in people's lives. That's how Elijah had the power he had. That's how David, he communed with God. That's how he took down the giant. That's how the three Hebrew children came through the fiery furnace. It's an old path, but it leads to new things. New revelation. New experiences in God. Things we haven't seen or experienced before. Amen. All right, let me move on here. I'm looking at the watch. The Lord wants to unleash a gushing river of new wine into the church today. Amen. I'm going to say it again. The Lord wants to unleash a gushing river of new wine into His church today. Amen. All right. But there's some things that's got to happen in us. I'm going to share just a couple of those things with you. We must break free from the fear of change. I'm going to say it again. We must break free from the fear of change. Amen? Some people are so afraid to change. Some people just hate change. Amen? We got to be willing to say whatever you want, God. You know, the church has came through changes for years. Can you imagine if John the Baptist walked in here right now, it'd just freak everybody out. Camel's skin, camel's hair. Amen. Eating locusts. Pass me some locusts, bro. Little wild honey. Let's have church. Amen. Repent, you generation of vipers. Flee the wrath to come. Amen. God is able to these stones. And here's the key thing. Here's what people miss. People are afraid. And that was the whole message, Brand. Those religious leaders, that's why they couldn't handle Jesus. They couldn't handle change. They couldn't handle change. Jesus came along. You know, everybody thinks, well, you know, there's never been a change. Listen, Jesus changed everything. I said He changed everything. You know, He messed up their world, the religious leaders. That's why, you know, they talked about what Abraham spoke of, you know, and what their forefathers spoke of. That's why John the Baptist said, you know, Jesus is able to raise up stones. And Abraham, he's able to, you know what I'm saying? He's able to do things you've never seen before. They were caught up in that religious way of looking at things. They'd look at Him with the Scriptures and they'd say, but don't the law say, and He'd always raise the bar. He'd say, hey, wait a minute, how about your part in that? Amen? You know, he challenged them. And He brought in new things. So He brought in change. So we gotta be able to break free from the fear of change. The church has changed over the years. How many knows they panicked out when they brought, have we got a red book hymnal here? Brian hit it. I love you, Brian. I found it. Who remembers the hymnals? Now don't get mad. I'm not. There's nothing wrong with the hymnal. Not a thing in the world. But I'm gonna try to make a point to you here. And I know once again I'm not gonna be able to finish this word, but that's all right. The Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. You know, when these came out, people just freaked out. We don't need songbooks. We know the songs. When these came into the church, you know, when you brought these into the church, they're like, what are they doing bringing these books into the church? We don't need the words. We know the songs. Amen? And everybody kind of got used to these, and then they put this in the church. We don't need that. We've got this. We don't need the words up on the screen. We've got songbooks. You know, and listen, I remember when bringing drums into the church. I probably told you guys before. You know, we brought drums into the Molas Church, and I got saved in 1981. Wow. And I never done anything. You know, I just won't tell you what I was, but I was just a sinner. And God saved me and changed my life and set me free. And I'm like, I want to do something. So I went to the music store and bought a set of drums. Took drums in the church. And there was a guy playing the electric guitar in the church. And he said, first of all, they said, you can play them in youth group. That's it. They put them in the back. Hide those things. So we'd bring them out. You know, we're talking about 81. We'd bring them out playing for a youth group. I couldn't play a lick. I really couldn't. One of those. I like to drove them crazy. But I finally did learn to be a decent drummer. But early on, I was horrible. But then they decided, okay, we're going to go to the church leaders. This guy played guitar. He said, we're going to go to the church leaders and see if we can bring them out for church. Uh-oh. We're bringing them out for church. We're going to have drums in church. Amen? And then so they said, okay, you can bring them out in church as long as you watch him. And don't let him get out of hand. He said, I got it under control. I'll take care of it. He played a lot louder than I did, so I knew that was not going to be a problem. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, people they have a fear of change, and they don't want to see things different in the church. You know, and again, don't miss the whole point here. The journey to get to the destination, you go along the same journey, but the destination may be different when you get there. Are you following me? And God's going to use different things along the way. I mean, I could drive down roads you've never driven down before. My wife and I were so blessed this past week. We got to go and be away for a couple of days and celebrate our 30th anniversary. And I love my wife dearly, and it was just such a blessing. We had such a great time. You know, we were in this little cabin nestled back in the it's awesome. The countryside was just gorgeous, Ernie. We came out was it Friday morning, sitting on the porch and drinking, Thursday morning, sitting on the porch of this cabin, you know, just having a cup of coffee and just sitting there talking about the Lord and had the scriptures open. Had such an awesome experience in the spirit that morning, and just the Lord just visited us, and it was so awesome. But you see, the thing is, we need to understand what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? He wants to do great things in us and through us. And he wants to show us things we've never seen before. And the point I was trying to make is, you know, we saw a countryside we'd never seen before. We traveled roads we'd never traveled before. You know, sometimes we just need to take a side road. We're in too big of a hurry. I got to take this road I've always known before. Let's just take a side road. Let's just go somewhere we haven't gone. Let's go set up a tent and camp out. How about that? Come on, Jessica. I'm trying to help you out. Justin and Jessica went camping in a tent. All right, where am I at? I got to finish. Somebody say, Lord, help us to break free from the fear of change. Okay, we must be willing. I'm about done. I promise. I'm gonna keep the rest of this word. We must be willing to defy tradition. We must be willing to defy tradition. Listen, to what I'm getting ready to tell you right now. This is important stuff. People who are married to the past cannot embrace the future. Sacred cows don't belong in the pulpit. They must be sacrificed on the altar. That's a word. I'm going to say it again. Sacred cows don't belong in the pulpit. They must be sacrificed on the altar. Amen. I know some of this messes with your sacred cow. Preacher done gone shot my cow. We had a guy living in our community once, and he was real bad. Every time he would speak, it's all right to laugh, y'all. Every time he would speak, he was real bad to grunt. He had this pony, you know, and he let the pony out, and this guy had called him, told him, said, "You better get your pony up. It's getting in my garden." Just told him. All right. So next day, it's a true story. Next day, I know them both. Pony gets out, Brandon. He's in his garden. the guy shoots the pony. So the owner of the pony calls him and says, shouldn't shot my pony. The guy on the other end said, should have kept him up. So here's the moral of that story is you need to shoot the sacred cow. Sacrifice that thing on the altar. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm gonna tell you what I'm saying. The way we've always done it will not work in God's new season. I'm going to say that one more time. The way we've always done it will not work in God's new season.
Amen.
Can I say it again? The way we've always done it will not work in God's new season. We're in a new season. New change. New winds are blowing in the name of Jesus. Daniel, come up. When we close. I got one more. I'm going to quit. So we must break free from the fear of change. And we must be willing to defy tradition. Again, that's what messed up the Pharisees. You know, they couldn't leave tradition. Jesus, do you realize Jesus even told them, you follow tradition of men. You know, one place he said, you clean up the outside. He said, you're like whited sepulchres. You know what this is like, whitewashing a fence. You know, how many seen people, oh, you look good on the outside, but inside, man, full of dead men's bones. Last one for today. We must ask the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. We must ask the Spirit to reveal His strategies. Oh, don't miss this one. Please, I know we've been here a while. I'm going to let you go home, but don't miss this one. I'm going to say it again. We must ask the Spirit to reveal His strategies. What are you saying? It has to be Spirit-led. I'm not talking about doing something new just for the sake of doing something new. We cannot rely on church growth gurus. What a word. We can't rely on popular books to lead us into genuine change. You can go buy all the new books you want, but that's not going to lead you into genuine change. Oh, and when I wrote this down, I thought, man, when I put this in my notes last night, I'm telling you, I read it. After I put it down, I said, Lord, you know, what a word. And I looked at it over and over and over again. But I want you to hear what the Lord dropped into my spirit. Copying spiritual trends is a form of carnality. Amen? I said copying spiritual trends is a form of carnality because you're looking at how everybody else done it. And basically, a lot of times it's what God did for them, what God did in Toronto, what God did in Brownsville, and you're trying to copy that trend when God said, hey, listen, you know, there's not necessarily a particular blueprint. I want to do something here different for you. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's also a sad substitute for being Spirit-led. Copying spiritual trends is a sad substitute for being spiritual led. Can I just preach to you just for a couple minutes? Folks, we have come to the place to where we know how to have church. We can watch the people on TV and do like they do, or we can watch somebody else or read a book and try to do like they do. But where's being Spirit led? And I'm going to tell you something. If we're not Spirit led and we don't see something powerful new, we need to apologize to our children, the next generation, because they're not going to experience a powerful move of God like our forefathers have and what some of us has been through, and to see God show up in the way He has showed up. If the work of transforming the church is not totally led by the Holy Spirit, it will fail. You know, sure, we want to be transformed. We want to be changed. But it's got to be Spirit-led. You know, the worship's got to be Spirit-led. Everything's got to be Spirit-led. Amen? We got to let the Lord lead us. If we let the Lord lead us, guess what? You're going to get somewhere. Amen? How many's excited about that? How many's receiving this word? All right. We'll stop right there because I don't want to dive into, because if I dive into another, the next subject I want to dive into here is just kind of another step. But I'm so excited about delivering this word to you. Amen. I think the Lord is speaking to us. Somebody's going to be open-minded. And just say, God, I don't care what you do. And I don't care. Listen, you know, I don't care who you do it through. Me and Juana were talking about this weekend. You know, and that's where pride, listen, I'm going to say one more thing to you. Pride's got to go. I said, pride's got to go. Amen. Because sometimes we think we're so super spiritual that we can't receive anything from somebody else. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God can speak to you through anybody. Anybody he so chooses. Listen, he showed old Balaam he could speak to him then. He spoke to him through a donkey. You know, if God can speak through a donkey, can he speak through any person? So God can speak to you through anybody. Don't never think you've come to that place to where you've arrived. See, and listen, God can't move in that. He can't operate in that. You know, that can't, pride and humility, they can't coexist. That's got to go. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop right there.
for nothing.